Super Gamecast 64, episode 128. Today on the show, San Diego had a Comic-Con. There was some trailers. Dude, there was more speedrun marathons. And all the crew is back. Can somebody hit the DJ?
DJ.
Wow.
Stereo.
That was weird.
Well done. This is Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. We're the official podcast of SuperGameSite64.com. I feel like we're going to have to workshop that. But hey, it's all right. I'm your host, Matt. With me as always, we got...
I am back. It's me. I'm in the studio. I'm throwing up gang signs.
Jesus.
Like I always do.
Uh-huh.
It's Kevin.
Kevin, since you've been gone, I go second now. This is Tyler. You can go now.
Let's redo this. With me, as always, we got...
Tyler!
Nah, it just doesn't sound the same.
That's weird.
I've been out of it for a while.
He's been really out of it. For the past three episodes, even, we have to kind of click him in. Be like, Kevin, what are you doing? And so, since you've been gone...
I can breathe.
You said it earlier, and someone had to complete it. How is your trip to... I still think it's a mystery where Kevin actually went.
Oh, Mystery Island?
I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but we had a theory that, in fact, you had just purchased one of those kiddie pools that you see on Wish Facebook ads and then filled it up with, like, not great quality sand you buy from a Hom Dip Pit, and then you just, like, put in a little drink and you're,
like... took pictures in such a way so as to only capture that sand.
Yeah, Instagram famous.
For sure, yeah.
So how was your trip in the kiddie pool?
Mystery Island, I've already said too much.
Okay, well, was it a mystery? What happens on Mystery Island stays on Mystery Island?
No, I just drank a lot.
Nice.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
Lovely.
We were like literally maybe 50 feet from the lake, from the water.
Nice.
So when it got hot, and it did get hot,
we were soaking.
I was going to ask, how was the weather?
The weather was hot.
Topical.
Was hot.
It was real bad.
Tyler and me held down the fort on episode 127.
Yeah, I hear...
Super Summercast.
This is a podcast where we talk about, and correct me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, it's been a long time since I've done this.
Yeah.
But is it video games?
Close. Less French? Is that French? Video?
It's like Spanish.
Vidya games.
That's how we call it in America, Vidya games.
Now, is that like a... Is that like a DVD that you...
Have you ever heard of a man named Mario?
Not my cousin.
Okay,
but Matt's
what about the super from the old apartment building I used to live in?
So Super Mario.
Okay,
and then you're in. Yeah,
he handled all the plumbing issues I had.
Yeah,
right. Well, yeah, you got it.
And his brother Luigi. Guys,
wait, you know Luigi?
No, I don't. I've never, never, ever. I love you, Luigi. Luigi's Mansion 3.
That was good.
Coming soon to the Nintendo Switch, guys. That was our vamp portion.
this weird guy that followed him around named Guigi. I don't know what that was.
Oh man, that's going to be a good time, guys. San Diego Comic Con, as we said at the top of the show.
Oh, you don't want to sandbag it first and then get in all the happy stuff?
You know what? Let's do that. Actually,
ow.
Speaking of the sandbag, Hand of Fate. We'll start off with a bummer. It's a bummer for mainly just us here at Super Gamecast 64, and because most of you guys haven't played these goddamn games, it seems. Also, this is an explicit show. If you don't like the word fuck, maybe turn it off. Once again,
fucking deal with it.
Kevin was not the first person to drop the F-bomb. Season 5, changing things.
I'm turning over a new leaf.
Tyler.
New fucking leaf.
Calm down. Tyler.
That's me.
There was a game called Hand of Fate.
And I loved it. And
Kevin apparently didn't.
I was actually more of a fan of the mobile version called Foot of Destiny.
That's not a real thing. But there is a Hand of Fate physical card, also board game, that you should purchase. I like Hand of Fate 2 as well.
Wait, when you play a card in Hand of Fate board game, do you have to stand up and punch each other?
This will make more sense. We describe the game, but it does say in like the instructions, it's like a mixture of card combat and real-time attacks. And I'm like, what if you do just punch your DM in the face? Hand of Fate.
Oh, I've wanted to.
Hand of Fate. We're going to do a fun thing here. Hand of Fate, and we're all going to yell out parts of the genre, because Hand of Fate is a big genre mashup, and even if you don't remember the game, you can just yell something out, and it'll probably work. Hand of Fate is, and I'll start, a action...
Deck building.
I'm nervous. I can't think of anything.
Role-playing.
Isometric.
Third person.
Roguelike?
Yeah, you're not wrong, actually.
Oh, that was an easy one.
I think, actually, that's pretty succinct.
Adventure? Card adventure?
Yes.
Storytelling?
It's a narrative-driven.
Fortune.
It's a game where you, a man has a deck of cards in front of
online
you.
Online capabilities.
No, actually, I think there is online capabilities. You walk up to the man and he says, here's some cards. And instead of trying to swindle you out of your money with three-card Monty, he shows you a story. And there was a bunch of stories in Hand of Fate 1. It was an Xbox Live Games with Gold game, I believe. And then Hand of Fate 2 was an even better game. We told everybody in Season 4 and Season 3, we were shouting from the figurative mountaintops, buy this game. And then no one did. That's not funny, Kevin.
Luckily, Xbox did for you.
Thanks, Hand of Xbox. Fate developer, Defiant, is doing what? Tyler,
They have closed their doors.
They are closing their doors and also halting production on a third game they were making, which I swear to God, if it was Hand of Fate 3, I'm throwing bows.
Give it 6 months, it'll be kickstarted.
You know, Matt, if you put arrows in and launch them, you don't have to throw bows and it'll actually be more functional.
Right, because the bows aren't the sharp part.
Right, it's the arrows.
I mean, they're kind of sharp. Well, you probably poke somebody with them.
Right, but like, get a spear.
But that is my official prediction, I will admit.
Kickstarter?
6 months, Kickstarter.
Well, that's the thing.
And then you'll wait 4 years for it to be good.
We'll get to that.
Rude.
Hand of Fate, the
accurate, but rude.
Hand of Fate, the physical card game based on the video game, was Kickstarted, I believe. So maybe there is a path for success in the crowdfunding for Defiant. I really hope we get more from Defiant, because if anything, those Hand of Fate games were fantastic and very innovative. Nothing quite like them.
They actually were, yeah. Because it combined a lot of the best things of like card games like Gwent.
Yes.
And like arcade-y style beat-em-ups.
I feel like Tyler would be the man who would know if there was anything like Hand of Fate. Can you think of really anything like Hand of Fate?
No.
It truly is a unique...
It's its own bag, man.
Experience. You can do so many. It really is. It kind of, as you go through the game, you get like new weapons and armor, and you fight in third person action. But the rest of the narrative is in a card builder. That's like the main thing. Not a card builder, a card-esque game.
I mean, there's a map of cards, and you flip over the cards, and an event happens.
Yes,
or a trap, or whatever.
Kind of like Betrayal at Baldur's Gate.
It's like if Betrayal was a one-on-one experience where you were being told a story, and then you controlled the action.
Betrayal at the House on the Hill, right?
Yeah. Betrayal at the House
or
on the
Betrayal
Hill.
Or Betrayal at Baldur's Gate. Guys, regardless, Hand of Fate, great game. Can obviously still purchase them on PC, Xbox, and maybe PlayStation as well. I'm pretty sure PlayStation. You should go buy these games.
Hey, you guys want to play board games?
Board games are fun. I do want to play board games.
Yeah, I'll play some board games.
Let's go.
Almost all the time. No, well, we're in the middle of this. Let's
Super Board Game Cast 64.
You're not too wrong. Let's move off of the sadness. It's very sad for us. And let's move on to the happy. Well, I mean, maybe happy for some people, maybe sad for some people. San Diego Comic-Con came out. A lot of trailers. There's a lot of Marvel superhero.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I had...
You got Blade.
Okay, I had the Marvel Phase 4 announcement here on the news. We're a geek-centric kind of show, but I wasn't sure if you boys had looked at this and seen it and wanted to talk about the new Marvel movies upcoming. It's a lot of things we already expected. Do we want to talk about
there's
Marvel?
There's one I do want to talk about.
What's that, Blade? With Mahershala Ali.
There is an actor known for his role on a sitcom called Kim's Convenience.
Yeah, okay.
Who just jumped onto Twitter and was like, hey, I want to do this. And they were like, yeah, okay. Simu Liu is his name?
Dave Bautista for Gears of War.
No.
That's also something that's happened on Twitter lately.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but...
No, for
Simu,
what?
Simu Liu.
For what?
For Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
Oh.
He literally went onto Twitter and was like, hey, I'm an actor, and...
They got him.
No, he literally was like, I'll play Shang-Chi, and they're like... Yeah, okay.
Next level casting direction for Shang-Chi in a level of the Nine Rings. That's a Marvel movie that's coming out next year.
Legend of the Ten Rings. Good try.
Legend of the Nine, Ten Rings. There's 12 Infinity Stones, 6. It doesn't matter. Blade looks cool. It'll be cool. They didn't really show much. That's the whole kind of thing of Comic-Con, Marvel's Phase 4 announcement for their movies. They didn't really show much. Natalie Portman's going to have a hammer as female Thor in Thor 4. even more retro.
Thor 4.
Thor 4 by Takehi Waititi. Thor. I love that director.
Yeah. Have you seen like all the shit he's been saying on Twitter?
I don't follow him on Twitter, but I'm sure he says all right, shit.
So there's a lot of people that are being like kind of misogynistic about the fact that, you know, that Lady Thor exists.
Yes.
Even though that's not like her actual, like that's her title in the comic.
Yeah.
That's not Femme Thor. They're going to like label her in the movies.
Yes. She's not Supergirl. She's like a different Thor.
They're like, oh, they're just like checking off the boxes for political correctness now or something. And he's like, no, that's not it at all. Like, he's actually like clapping back at some of these people, and it is perfect. It's so funny.
It's kind of the same argument people have been having about Wolfenstein Youngblood. They should call it Wolfenstein Femmeblood, but it's not. We'll talk about it. Marvel Phase 4, besides Shang-Chi and Blade, Tyler, what are you most looking forward to?
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse.
Yeah, honestly, that's honestly, Doctor Strange 2 is what I'm most amped for.
Yes.
I feel like WandaVision is going to be a sleeper hit.
I feel like all
I
of
so.
I feel
right.
Because those two actors, they're good. They got chemistry.
Well, I think
fair.
Loki, I think all of these Disney Plus
movies.
No, those aren't movies.
No, that's what I'm saying. I thought.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I just choked.
No, you it's okay.
At the Loki thing, because I Rachel and I are convinced that that's going to bomb.
The Loki
yeah. show.
No, the movie.
It's not a movie. Do you understand that these aren't all movies?
So, yeah.
Okay.
If it's a show, it's going to be fine.
All right, hold. Yeah, yeah.
If it were a Loki movie.
All right, Tyler, so what are the shows?
The shows are Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
WandaVision.
Yeah.
Loki.
Yeah.
What If.
Yeah, that's the animated one. And Hawkeye. Those are the shows. The other ones.
Those are TV shows.
And those will all be on Disney Plus. So Loki, the show, will be about, I think, what Loki did after Endgame.
$7 a month.
WandaVision will be a thing. I mean, that's what they're trying to. That's what Kevin's shaking his head. It's.
I don't need another subscription.
So that's what Disney is.
Old man yells at cloud.
That's what Disney is banking on, is that you'll say, I don't need another subscription. And then when you go to a Marvel movie and you don't understand what's going on, they'll be like, oh, you should watch a TV show. Essentially, that's what I think they're doing.
I'll just find somebody who subscribes to it and use their account.
There you go. That's Netflix. So that was interesting, Marvel Phase 4 stuff. Also, at San Diego Comic-Con, we have probably the most video game-centric thing that we're going to discuss here about Comic-Con. And then we're going to bounce off Comic-Con. The Witcher trailer.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I saw it when it first dropped.
I saw it, like, 5 minutes ago.
It's so did Tyler. Five minutes. Okay, so first impressions. Let's keep it basic. Let's avoid spoilers. This is based on the book series, not the video game series Witcher. The book's obviously taking place far before. But Tyler, what is The Witcher about?
This isn't what I was going to say. I didn't anticipate a question here.
Okay. Do the question. Well, no, you do what you're going to say first.
By the end of the trailer, I forgot Henry Cavill was The Witcher.
Yeah, they did a really good. I was unsure about Henry Cavill from the screenshots, and then when I saw him in motion, I was like, "Boy, that Geralt is ripped."
Yep,
I didn't really see the Cavill.
Geralt of Riptia.
No, you're looking good, Hen.
So,
call me. It's.
What was your question?
What is it about?
Thinking about Henry Cavill.
What is it about?
Yeah. What's for the layman, for the man who's never played or read.
So, oh boy, if you don't know what Witcher is,
that's
about,
where to start.
Apt, yeah. Right.
So,
in a nutshell,
the Witcher. What we got from the trailer. There's. So I shouldn't say spoilers. For the trailer?
Well, do you want like an abstract description of what a Witcher
How about I can tell you a
description of a Witcher. He could tell you a description of the trailer.
Yeah, what's a Witcher?
Story or anything like that.
What's a Witcher?
A Witcher is a problem solver.
Yep.
He is a magic user, is not afraid of it, knows the ins and outs of monsters and alchemy.
Can't have babies either. They're sterile. Henry.
Yes.
Next time.
Due to mutagens that they use.
They're mercenaries. They like getting paid. And in the world that witchers exist, there is a certain witcher named Geralt of Rivia.
Henry Cavill.
He's played by Henry Cavill. And Kevin, what's the show about?
Well, the show appears to occur a little bit out of sync with the books, actually, because the book starts in media res, if you remember anything from high school English, which means like kind of in the middle of the action.
So
the book occurs
One of those things where, like, let's start at where the story gets interesting and not at the beginning.
Here are the proper, like, nouns for these characters. These are their names, so you just kind of have to go with it until you figure out who they are, sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it's Geralt and Ciri meeting under this tree where all travelers find refuge.
Okay, but can you explain who Ciri is before we explain what happens in the books and not in the TV series? The TV series itself seems to be
so
Geralt.
Yes.
Going on a quest.
Correct.
Or somebody.
Protecting Ciri from Nilfgaard.
Yeah,
who are the big bad evil empire.
Military. It's like, imagine if Game of Thrones, instead of they were trying to fight over the thrones or over like the land, they were trying to fight for magic.
They were trying to find
a little girl. Yep.
Who is in the trailer suggested, of course, that she is very special.
The specialist girl. And if you've played the Witcher series, specifically Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, you'll know that Ciri is very special. But that's kind of what I was trying to get across, is that...
I will say I think the trailer showed far too much.
You think the trailer showed far too much?
I think in visual, I think.
Oh, I think it showed exactly what it needed to. There's magic, there's monsters, there's Henry Cavill ripped as fuck, and then there's some ladies who are very important to the story, and then also Game of Thrones fighting.
It did reveal everything, though.
But maybe that's just like the first point. Maybe it's like the first episode.
Like, if you know anything about The Witcher, you could probably put it together.
Yes.
Well, it's also supposed to be based off a book that you may have read.
True. We'll find out when Witcher drops.
Dear listener.
Later, 2019. Still no release date.
Definitely peep the books.
Let's just do a SGC 64 prediction. What month is this going to drop?
Release date?
No, I mean, you can go for full release date if you want, but just what month do you think The Witcher on Netflix is going to release?
Is it supposed to
be? It's this year.
Oh. It says this year?
Yes.
February next year.
Okay.
I'm actually going to be optimistic about this. I'm going to say September.
Okay. I'm going to go November. I think it would be better for October, but I think it's going to be November.
Oh, it'd be so good for October.
Well, if neither of you are picking holiday, I will pick holiday.
Okay. Well, I guess November is kind of I don't think they would go dead
holiday
ass
would
like
be hard to compete with movies.
I don't think they would go dead for like December, you know, like second week of December. We'll find out. Maybe it is February next year. That'd be hilarious. They find out, they're like, oh, Henry Cavill had too much like grubble on his chin, so they have to CGI out his whole entire face. Grubble. Yeah. Okay, stop. Speaking of more fun things, not with Henry Cavill, but fast. Speed.
Sonic?
Wait.
February 2020.
Wait.
What?
The spinoff of Fast and Furious.
Yes, Hobbs and Shaw, which is releasing
soon. I was right!
No, actually not. The European... I almost said the Elder Scrolls Speedrunners Association. God damn it. The European Speedrunners Association are a group of speedrunners in Europe, obviously.
No shit.
And they did their summer 2019 speedrun marathon event. Just ended the last week. And, guys, that raised $85,000 for the Swedish Alzheimer's Foundation. Very good job. Yeah, let me put down my phone so we can golf clap. So if you've heard us talk about games done quick and stuff.
Was Sonic there?
Sonic
like
was
real
there.
Sonic?
Sonic lives in
with
all of us.
With the teeth or without the teeth?
Yes.
With the teeth and without the teeth. In the back room. So I mean, tons of speed run games.
The one that they threw out of the studio to make a brand new Sonic.
Yes, the rejected Sonic.
They hit a button and like one of those big tubes full of liquid slowly descends as Sonic's lifeless body crumples to the ground.
Our fun fact on last episode was they like to take Mega Man, the non-canon but box art Mega Man, and inject him into games as canon. You guys know where I'm going with this? What if they take rejected Sonic and then shove him as like an alternate costume in Super Smash, and then for now on you have like 1990 Sonic, 2006 Sonic, 2019 failed, yes, it's just
and
teeth.
He actually gets Wario's B-move.
Yes.
No.
There's so many alt Sonics.
Oh my god, I'm gonna do some Googling.
Okay, calm your Googling ass down. European Speedrun Assembly, the Associations, the European Speedrunner Assembly, the 7 days of speedruns, $85,000 towards the Swedish Alzheimer's Foundation. Congratulations. Definitely check out some of the runs. I watched, there was a fantastic thing on the schedule. It was just called Awful Games. And like Games Done Quick, if you've seen Games Done Quick, their marathon, they like to do, you know, 5 to 6 hours straight of just really bad games. Well, ESA 2019 turned it up by doing 27 terrible games in under an hour. It was hilarious. So if you watch anything from that, I just highly recommend looking up Awful Games, ESA 2019. It is weird. So congratulations to all the European speedrunners over there, and some American speedrunners I saw, some North American people. We already talked about Hand of Fate, sad, sad, sad. There's a brand new game coming out to Switch. F in chat for Defiant. There's a new game coming out on Switch. And at the same time, it's going to be coming out later this year. I want all of us to say the name. This is something that Kevin said before we started recording. Tyler, do you know what? No, you're not allowed to look.
There's a game coming out on Switch? It's not this one?
Is it the one that says Switch next to it?
Oh, he doesn't have the update. Never mind.
No, I don't have the updated spread, the updated
Kevin,
list.
Tell me, I'm going to make this joke work in a different way. Tell me the game that comes out on Nintendo Switch later this year, and I'll tell you if you're wrong.
Is it mainlining?
No.
Oh.
Fuck, it's not going to work.
Outer Worlds?
Outer Worlds is coming out on Switch.
Okay, all right.
And then I was going to make a joke that say also Garfield kart racing, Fast and the Furious. Not called Fast and Furious.
Don't you fucking joke about that.
It's not a joke. The same day that Outer Worlds, which is the Obsidian developed, that's an action RPG for
you. It's actually Garfield kart racing. I'm sorry, John.
But for real, the same day that Outer Wilds, they announced, oh, this is coming out on Switch in November, which means the game that we thought was Xbox and PC exclusive, now available on Nintendo Switch. Not now available.
I'm calling it now. It's gonna have performance issues.
But you're not wrong at all.
I mean, it couldn't even handle Bloodstained. Bloodstained's a 2D platformer.
So that game will be released in some form in November on Switch. But the real heart of the story here for new Switch games, and it's not just Switch. Honestly, you can enjoy this game on every platform, it seems. This is Garfield Kart Furious Racing. Kevin, you thought it was a joke? You thought this whole thing was a fucking joke, Kevin?
No, but why are we forcing Garfield?
Garfield Kart, why not?
What he wants
not?
To do is sleep, man.
Garfield,
just give me some fucking lasagna.
You're not wrong, actually. I mean, there's been a few Garfield games, but of all the things you think Garfield would not want to do.
Jim Davis is a piece of shit.
You think he would probably not want to get inside a moving vehicle.
Does Jim Davis even know what a video game is?
I don't think Jim Davis has anything to do with this beyond licensing
fees. Is Jim Davis still alive?
Is Jim Davis even a human?
Yes, he is John. Cartfield, that's what I should have called it. Garfield Kart Furious Racing will be releasing later this year on, all systems.
Furious
PC.
Seems a little generous.
They should have called it Furriest.
Fun fact.
No.
Jim Davis is still alive.
Yeah, no, he's definitely alive and definitely litigating.
Jim Davis is a piece of shit.
Yeah, no, he's definitely litigating. That marks the end. Well, no, Tyler.
After we're done here, remind me to show you guys a video. I'll link it in the group.
Okay.
Remind me to show you the video of Jim Davis.
About Jim Davis being a piece of shit?
No,
Tyler, before we end this news segment, nice succinct 22 minutes. Sorry, I forgot about the 2-minute vamp about Kevin's mystery adventure in the wish pool. 20-minute vamp. Or 20-minute news section.
It's Kevin's Mystery Island Wish Pool.
You can win a trip there. Just subscribe to our newsletter at supergamesite64.com. Tyler, what do you think about Garfield Kart Racing, Fast and the Furriest?
What's next on the list?
Nothing. We're going to games. Let's talk. You know what? Let's continue this.
I wonder if you could be Garfield's girlfriend.
Stop. You can play as eight different characters, so I'm assuming.
Can you play as Nurmal?
You can play as eight different characters.
Can you play as Lasagna?
Motherfucker, you can play as eight different characters. I'm assuming you can play as John, throw Lasagna, because there's both offensive and defensive abilities in this game, at Garfield. And play on 16 iconic Garfield circuits, boys.
Wait.
In both multiplayer...
You know, everybody's...
Hold on.
Favorite panels from the comic.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait.
What are we waiting for?
Get Arbuckled.
Garfield Kart?
Garfield Kart. Furious Racing.
This is a sequel.
Yes. Undercovering new information here.
Was Garfield Kart 1 played at ESA?
You know what? I don't know, but maybe. Or GDQ, at least.
It's on 3DS. You can play as John.
You know what we really needed in 2019?
And Odie.
Is a sequel to a 3DS game. Exclusive Garfield Kart Racing game. We'll find out at the end of the year. Yeah, definitely, it's like going to be up for most disappointing or game of the year.
I feel like everybody laughed at Crash Team Racing, too, and that was dope.
Let's talk about our games here. I'm going to start off with this game, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. If you don't know who the Black Order are, the Black Order is Thanos and his friends, and they're really mean. And they want those Infinity Stones. Kevin, what's so fucking
funny? Garfield Kart.
You guys are so fucking caught up on this Garfield Kart racing. Why don't you write a goddamn article about it?
It has a 9 out of 10 on Steam.
That's the thing. Every time Tyler says it has a 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 on Steam, I'm pretty sure everything except for most anime fuck games have a 9 out of 10 on Steam. And
whoa,
if Garfield Racing is not... That's the question. Is Garfield Racing 2 Fast Furious Racing. God damn it.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Going to have a 10 out of 10. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 The Black Order is about Thanos, and he wants to find the Infinity Stones, because once again, the Infinity Stones are out, and it's trouble. Tyler hasn't played this. Kevin hasn't played this. I have. Tyler, we're going to remedy that.
Yeah.
By letting you borrow Marvel versus Marvel.
We still borrow games here.
Hey, dude, physical.
SGC?
Yeah. Why not? Share amongst your friends. Share amongst the group. Join the Facebook fan group.
You're cheap.
Super Gamecast 64. Find it on your Facebook. You can talk to us and we can share games and I'll never return them. I'm just kidding. I totally will. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is a story about the Guardians of the Galaxy and they find a Kree warship. And on the Kree warship, they find the Infinity Stones. And then the Black Order comes in. They're like, ah! And then the Infinity Stones blast across the galaxy.
Perfect.
And they got to go find them. And
perfect.
There's 10 chapters. And each chapter is kind of like it encompasses a certain group of heroes. I'm trying to avoid spoilers. Because most of this game is like, who's going to show up? It's all the Marvel people. Who am I going to be able to play as? Are X-Men going to be in there? Are the Netflix Avenger peoples going to be in there? How far is it going to go into the comic
about
book
the Runaways?
History? You see? Exactly. There's 10 chapters. And besides Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers, who knows what the other 8 will be? Also, one's about Thanos. So there you go. Who knows what their 7 will be? It's a fun game. It's not as good as the other two. I just want to bring this up, though, is that... Go ahead, Tyler.
Ultimate Alliance 2 was the best isometric game ever.
Yes. Ultimate Alliance 2 on the 360 and PlayStation 3 also came out 2 years before Iron Man in the theaters. So Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance game that has happened after the MCU.
After the Iron Man.
Wow. So
and the Spider-Mans. And the...
Not only is it... So the gap...
Yes.
Is...
12 years.
13, but... I'm math. So...
I didn't get the maths.
Ultimate Alliance 2,
yeah?
2006, pre-MCU.
Yes.
Ultimate Alliance 3, post-MCU. I mean...
Or post-Infinity Saga.
Literally, yeah, post-Infinity Saga.
So you can imagine
the
that...
The whole MCU happened.
So of course, it's about the Infinity Stones. And that's what I want to say, is that since it enters in, literally, like Tyler said, after the entirety of the MCU, this is obviously going for a more newcomer crowd, whereas Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2... was definitely going for nerds who liked RPGs, you know? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was a lot of in-depth stats and stuff like that. And while you can still upgrade your characters and, you know, find bonus powers and stuff, and there's, like, a skill tree to unlock, I feel like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is very much about just pressing buttons and beating up guys and going through, like, this 6 to 10 hour experience. At times, there can be difficulty spikes that are so ridiculous that I thought about just lowering the difficulty. It's just, like... For some reason, you have levels associated with your characters, because this is an RPG, and you'll go into an area and it's like, oh, you want to be level 15-ish for this. You really kind of want to be like level 20, to feel like you're a superhero.
Yikes.
So I almost recommend playing it on, there. I think it's friendly and mighty difficulty, and then you unlock like superior difficulty once you beat it. Just play on easy, because I played on medium or normal, and it wasn't, I didn't get anything more fun out of it. And you can just, like, alter it as you go. So if it's too easy, bump it up. Too hard, bump it down. There's a few boss fights in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 that are just up there with fuck you. Like, I don't want it.
It sounds like something I'd fall asleep to.
You know what?
Kevin does fall asleep to isometrics.
It's cathartic in the way, but it's not super iso, because the camera does kind of move around as you go through different settings and environments. It even has, like, a side-scrolling part. It's pretty cool.
It's not Diablo, Kev.
It's not Diablo, but if you're thinking about Diablo plus Marvel... characters, that's kind of the ballpark of what you're getting here.
I hear it's not as customizable as something like
yeah,
Marvel.
Yeah, no, like Marvel, well, even the past Marvel
not
games,
at all.
They had tons of skins and costumes. This one maybe has one skin for, one extra skin or costume for maybe 60% of the roster. It's not as in-depth. It's more for newcomers. So for that, I say if you played the old Marvel games and you were fucking super excited about those, this is a dumbed-down version of that. It's not worth $60, is what I'm saying. But it might be worth 30 if you have a friend to play with.
If Nintendo would ever drop their resale prices.
Or three friends to play with. I feel like this one might be one that goes down eventually. We'll see. Tyler will play it and then check back in with him maybe in an episode or two. It is one of those games you play like a level and then you come back. In my opinion, that's how it's best played. In bite-sized chunks.
I burn through this kind of stuff.
He burns through it fast. Guys.
You can play as Nurmal.
This is now the time. I don't think you can play
it's
as Nurmal.
No, it's confirmed.
You can play as Nurmal. You can also play as the pink dog.
Yeah.
Is that Nurmal?
No.
Nurmal's the gray cat.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that, well, me and Tyler talked about it last time. So I think a lot of this is going to be Kevin. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Yeah.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Bloodstained.
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 So you played almost exclusively on Switch?
Me?
Yes.
I only played on Switch.
All right. And that is what we have found out is the worst version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
How bad? Tyler already discussed how frustrating some of the glitches could be last episode. Do you think that your experience playing Bloodstained has been made worse because you played it on the Switch, or if it's just fine? Like, that's the thing I really don't... I want to know about Bloodstained. Is Bloodstained on the Switch so bad it's noticeable at a pass? Or is it just, like, comparatively to PS4, like, not as good? Is it a bad game on Switch?
I am untainted by the real, I guess, quote-unquote, experience of playing this game.
The full, ultra,
I don't necessarily feel robbed by the performance issues, I will admit. There are a few frustrating things, like occasionally... Actually, only once it's happened, I went to go talk to the farmer and my game crashed.
Yep, Tyler brought that up too. So this is no one agreed to discuss it together, but yeah, both of you guys experienced crashes. I would say that's
pretty consistent. Interesting to see that they did seem to make some workarounds for persistent issues, such as if you kill a creature and the bag that it drops falls into a wall, it'll remain suspended there, but as soon as you leave the room, you do get that item. So it seems like they worked some... I don't know if that's in the main game too in PS4 or whatever, if that's an issue. But it seems like they at least made some sort of workaround there so you don't get robbed of the experience.
Yes.
And quite frankly, only in some really severe boss fights did I notice performance issues. And it was kind of inconsistent because there were some... there's a tower fight. I'll just say that much. I figured that would be rife with... performance issues, and really, it wasn't all that bad.
That one was pretty good.
There are a couple fights.
The boss was a bunch of bullshit, but...
I didn't have any issues with that.
So, my boss actually had infinite health when I fought him the first time.
That's weird.
Yeah. And I know this because I fought him for like 10 minutes straight, used all my healing items.
Holy shit, okay.
And then I went back and fought him and killed him without using any healing items.
Mm-hmm. Here's the new question I want to enter into this. Have you beat it, Tyler?
Yes.
Have you beat Kevin?
I'm like probably 30 minutes away from beating it.
I feel like that seems to be the story. Well, besides with Tyler. Everybody I've talked to who's played Bloodstained who was super amped for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just Dan Owen, really. My little brother. He played a lot and he enjoyed it. And then he stopped because he was on a really hard boss. And then that's kind of... But he was going for like the 100% completion.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it's fun at the top, but it maybe isn't as timeless as a game like Castlevania Symphony of the Night or something.
I have a couple issues I would like to bring up. Mainly that there are some strange difficulty spikes.
Yep.
That's
Anytime
really
you
like
have to fight Zangetsu?
Yeah.
here I am to fuck up your day.
Well, once you figure him out like a little bit, like if you can get behind him, you're pretty okay.
Sure. And then he turns around.
Right.
You're done now.
I'm just
They
have to get behind him.
There's some strange difficulty spikes. It almost seems like they went for style over function in a lot of ways. Because some of the fights were some of the coolest shit I've ever seen. Like things I've never seen before in a game. And
I just want to bring up the fact that after they released the first demo, was it? Or the beta, people said it looked poopy visually. And then they released a video specifically with the director, obviously taking that stuff to heart and being really upset that people call this game not cool. So they delayed it and then spent a lot of time trying to make the game look cool. Yeah. So if anything, I would say the style over substance is obviously that they spent too much time caring about how it looked. And I haven't played it yet, so I can't talk shit on how it plays. But they seem to very much be hitting the visuals as like a last thing on the way out before we ship. Make everything look really cool.
From a gameplay perspective, too, I have not felt the compulsion to switch up my shards as much as I'd like to.
Same.
There are a few like go-tos that I've used almost the whole game. And it's just due to the fact that the strength involved or the tactics involved with that particular thing is you know, you can't justify using anything else.
It's funny enough, actually, this is good information for you, Kevin, or not Kevin, Tyler, as you play Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, part of the way through the game, there's these ISO 8 crystals, or crystal shards you can collect and upgrade and modify and strengthen and all this crafting shit. I barely used it. So...
Okay.
Like in Bloodstained, this shard equipping power up thing is almost nominal because, like Kevin said in the other game, it's like the power ups you get is not as worth it and almost like a waste of time. Tyler.
So the thing we were talking about last time, Matt and I, was that Dan Owen was using
one specific spell,
one specific thing, and you could always he had it stuck in his head. Matt had it stuck in his head. Whatever,
Mithrodoria, something right. like that.
And I rattled off all the spells that had weird names that were really annoying.
Yes.
And there are certain spells that are just really good. It's all the elemental ones.
Yes.
The fire one, the ice one, the lightning one, the light one, and I didn't even touch the dark one because the light one was too good. No?
I think it's okay. Mithrodoria. I don't know, dude. We just have to have young Dan Owen come back downstairs and just ask him what the fuck it is.
Right. So there's the I'm not going to go through the list again.
It's fine.
But I landed on the fire one and the light one at the end of the game.
Yes.
I don't know about you.
I've been using almost exclusively, I use the dull hammerhead basically the whole time.
Same.
I switched my aimed one to true arrow.
Right, the arrows, right. You told me about that.
I changed and used the chisel instead.
Chisel.
I'm not going to say much more about that because that is kind of, I mean, it's not a spoiler, but it's like, it's a unique shard. Let's put it that way.
You probably get it from fighting somebody specific.
Well, yeah, no doubt.
All of them.
That's how, yeah, you can capture people's. I forget about this game works sometimes.
And then I've been using the blood steel.
Blood steel?
Yeah.
Is that working for you?
No.
Yeah, it's not good.
It only pulls blood off of walls.
Correct, yes. It doesn't pull blood from
enemies. Not like soul steel,
you need
which
to,
is what I wanted.
Right, everybody wanted soul steel, and it's just beat everybody up and then collect all the blood that you left on the floor.
What ends up happening is I just...
bodiless armor.
What ends up happening is I just don't use X at all.
Use what?
X.
X, the top button.
Oh, the actual button X.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
that's where fire comes in handy.
We have so much to say, obviously, on Bloodstained. This was a very much anticipated game for both these boys. I've still yet to play it, but don't worry. We'll talk more about Bloodstained Ritual of the Night at the end of the year, because, like I said on last episode, I have put this in Game of the Year.
Oh, no doubt.
So you guys are either going to have to say this shit's Game of the Year, or we're going to have to kill it, and that discussion will happen. It sounds like it's at least got enough gameplay and depth to keep you interested for more than a weekend.
Oh, it's very good.
Which is more, at least it has substance, is what I'm saying. It's not completely style over substance from what I'm hearing.
It's very good. It just had a lot to live up to.
I think I beat it in 14 hours.
14 hours. Well, maybe that's a weekend. Depends on how fast you play through your games. I have ADD like crazy. I can't play anything for more than 2 hours without turning around.
Right, I played it an hour at a time. I mean,
nice. Speaking of Switch, let me talk about this game real quick. A game called Mainlining. Mainlining, I don't think either of you boys know anything about this game, right?
Nope.
Just from the name, I want you to guess the genre. Well, that's actually really tough because the genre is weird.
Yeah, drugs. That's my guess.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Is it drugs? Is the answer drugs? Yes or no?
So this genre? Is a Switch game where you take the Joy-Con out of the dock.
HD Rumble.
Yes, and the HD Rumble, the game also comes with a hypodermic needle that you plug into the... Okay, we're not going to do
that
joke.
Dark.
Mainlining is a game where you work at a anti-piracy, anti-propaganda... It's a fucking game where you have a desktop, and it's a fake desktop, and you hack people's shit. You know those games on computer?
Oh, where it's shit, like, wait.
Wetch
is
eggs.
is this an existing game?
It might have like been on PC.
Being ported?
Yes, I believe it was on PC.
You play as a hacker, and you like... Set your computer down and...
No. Okay, well, I don't know.
I gotta look this up.
It's an 8-bit game.
Yep.
Not 8-bit, but it's retro-looking. You just have an OS in front of you, an operating system, a PC, and there's cases, right? And so a case will come forth. Like, the first case is, hey, here's this website. You have to find this user guilty of a crime. So with a few pieces of information, like with a website, you can use a search command to ping the website and find out its IP. If you have an IP address, you can type IP hack and then the web address or the IP address, and then you have access to that person's computer. Then you can type list, find all the files, read, download, you're in somebody's computer, et cetera, et cetera. Not real, obviously. But that's the idea of this. It plays on Switch. It plays okay. I found it weird trying to figure out if I wanted to use the touchscreen controls or if I wanted to use like a floating Joy-Con, because you can use like a keyboard kind of with the... It's hard to explain. But it's fun, dude.
It's I've heard amazing things about this game.
Mainlining is... here's the thing about hacking games in general. Is hacking games are either way too realistic or way too dumbed down, or just the manner of narrative storytelling isn't enough to compel you through these kind of tech puzzles, right? But in mainlining, there really is only so many paths to quote-unquote hacking. Like I said, you have to have a website, and then you can, you know, look at the website on your quote-unquote browser and maybe stem some information from there. But eventually, you're going to need to find an IP address and find somebody's name and a piece of evidence. It kind of works like Phoenix Wright. When you're ready to arrest somebody, you have to find their name and then upload a piece of evidence, you know, whether it's a screenshot of them selling drugs online or, you know, what faulty bank transfer statements, you know, you're going to have to find that. It's just one piece of evidence, and then you either passed or failed. And it's not as complex as it might sound. I think if you are interested in the idea of hacking and, you know, doing the old school terminals, IP hack right in your IP, I'm going to find your bank account, whoa, this is a good place to start, especially if you're not somebody who knows how to do that stuff.
Hacking for dummies.
Because it's not real hacking. Like I said, you type in a console command, IP hack, and then the IP number, and then you just have control of their terminal. That's not how it works at all. But for the purposes of the game and feeling like a quote-unquote hacker, it's fun. And there's, you know, like a little 8-bit Google Maps, and there's like tracking thing. It's cool. It's cheap game. It's an indie game. Mainlining, you can find on Switch. I believe it's coming out very soon, if not already out. Probably $20. Check it out. I like hacking games. I don't know if that, maybe that's just me.
I gotta say, I'm excited because I've been a little bit disappointed by the Cinderellas that have supposed to have been coming out this year.
Ones
that have been like really hyped up that ended up just being kind of like, oh, yeah, pretty good.
I gotta say, I didn't know much about mainlining. We got a code sent to us, and I was like, I like hacking.
It's good. It's really good.
I'm definitely going to play more of it. I've beaten first two cases. Honestly, if I was playing on a PC, it might have been quicker. It's really the time it takes to type out things on the keyboard, either with the Joy-Cons and moving a cursor or using your fingers. Tyler, before we jump off of mainlining, is this a game that you would find interest in? Do you think this is a game that, for you, the 80s hacker whiz kid, would enjoy?
No.
I think you'd be surprised. I think the anticipation is that you wouldn't, but I think you'd be surprised.
I think he wouldn't be surprised because we all know that Tyler's deep secret is that he wants to be a mechanic. Mechanic Simulator came out in July. He didn't play it yet. It's in his backlog. I think Tyler...
That's when he's going to have his wake-up call. And he's going to walk into work one day and just... Deborah is just going to drop a pile of papers on his desk again. He's going to go, you know what, Deborah?
Fuck this. I'm hacking a car.
I'm done. I'm downloading a car and I'm driving home.
You couldn't download a car?
They 3D printed a freaking Ferrari or something.
Lamborghini.
Mainlining. It's on Switch and also on PC.
So here's the reason. Here's my reason for not wanting to play this game.
Yes.
Anytime I play a hacking game.
Yes.
I think of Welcome to the Game. And that's not good.
Welcome to the game?
What? No. Welcome to the Game.
I don't think I played that game.
Is what it's called. Where you're a hacker.
Yes.
And, all I know about this hacker game is that, like, you go from in the computer, and then you, like, move away from the computer, and you stop hacking, and then you, like, walk
realize
around your house.
You're in the game.
You receive phone calls, you look at your phone, you get emails and texts.
I think I remember this.
And, you look outside, and eventually, like, it gets dark outside, and there will be a van outside across the street.
Surveillance.
Yeah, someone has been watching you doing this hacking. Someone's caught you. Someone's traced your IP to your house. And then someone comes in and kills you. And
spoilers for that game.
I don't know if that's like...
Wait, but are you telling me that you don't want to play this game because it reminds you of another game you haven't played?
He might accidentally
that's
be
a scary
too good
game.
At hacking.
Oh, I don't think this is a scare. I don't think this is a scare. This is a puzzle hack.
Oh.
It's very much... It's not
a
scare.
I don't want to play it on Switch because the reasons you listed.
Because they're going to hack your Switch and find your goddamn house. Mainlining will be fun if you want to play it. Get a little hacking for like $20. I'm going to skip over this next one. Kevin, Outer Wilds, yay or nay? Should people play that game?
Hell yeah.
All right. We'll talk about it again.
That's
the year.
A good game.
Well, me and Tyler talked about it a teeny bit. And then the more I feel, just play the goddamn game. It's on Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass.
It's a good relaxing game.
And if you don't want to play it, you're just going to feel silly at the end of the year when people are like, it's the best indie game.
Put it this way. If you like Subnautica, you'll like Outer Wilds.
Actually, Subnautica is on our ready-to-install list, and I was thinking about downloading it because I've heard that Subnautica is horrifying.
It's fantastic.
And me, being super afraid of the ocean.
Thalassophobia, baby.
More on that in recommendations at the end of the show. I kind of am interested in Subnautica. But I'm also trash at crafting games and survival games, so that's where the dissonance comes in. Let's move on to this next game, Wolfenstein Youngblood. Both of you haven't played it. I have, though. Wolfenstein. Kevin, wait, did you play it?
I don't have it.
You do have it, but...
I haven't played it.
Wolfenstein Youngblood is a game that takes place after Wolfenstein 2. The game I said was my best game 2017. Remember that, guys?
Yeah, I haven't played any of them. I want to.
You should play Wolfenstein the 1, which is the New Order, and then the New Colossus, before you play this, because Wolfenstein Youngblood takes place in 1980s. It's in an alternate future wherein the Germans won World War II, and they took over America and all of Europe. The mainstream, or the numbered Wolfenstein games, take place during, like, the 60s. So this is 20 years later, in the 80s. You play... It's co-op centric. So you play as one of the twin sisters who are the daughters of BJ Blazkowicz, the main protagonist of the Wolfenstein series. Their names are Jess and Sophie, and they are trained in the arts of killing motherfucking Nazis real, real hard. And when their dad goes disappeared into the Paris, you know that? Remember when his dad was Paris?
The Paris?
Remember when I was explaining, I said the dad was Paris?
Yeah.
The dad is Paris, and you gotta go find him and kill the Nazis.
Right.
And it's fun.
Business is booming.
It's business is booming, and the Nazis are dying. And what I gotta say about Wolfenstein Youngblood is it's fun to kill some fucking Nazis with your friends, but it lacks the narrative strength that the previous games are built on. So these spin-off games, because there's been Wolfenstein Old Blood, which is also like a spin-off, a mid-tier price game, like Wolfenstein Youngblood. Even those, they're always silly. And this one, it's not as silly as it is kind of serious, and it doesn't hit, like I said, the same narrative strengths that the past one does. So it's, they kind of go to the gameplay for it.
What you're saying is it hits different.
It hits different. You like Destiny?
Destiny?
Yeah.
Like the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like Destiny, Tyler?
No.
So you might not like this game more, Tyler. Kevin, you might like this game a little more, though, because, like, now enemies have levels above their heads, and there's areas that are level-oriented, and you gotta get experience by shooting guys in the face.
Well, I thought Wolfenstein was a mission-based run game.
It was, and then they made a co-op-centric version called Wolfenstein Youngblood, where you play as the two twin sisters, and the whole thing is very much like, go to this area, do these missions. It's kind of, instead of a linear-based game, it's like five different large maps, and then there's missions therein, and you'll go do the mission, and then go back to the Paris Catacombs, which are your base of operations.
Nope.
Upgrading, it's not as spooky as you think.
Abandon all hope.
But there are a bunch of skulls. This says it's the path to hell. As above, so below. That was a quote from that movie.
Are you just saying quotes now?
No. But Wolfenstein Youngblood takes place in the the base is in the catacombs. That's as above, so below. It's fun. But yeah, if you're going to play with a friend, you can buy it for $30.
I don't have any friends.
But if you buy... Well, then that's the rough thing.
That's true, Matt. I mean, we could play this together, but not Kevin.
Yeah. If you're solo, it's not as fun. At least your AI isn't dumb. Like, they'll help you out. But it's way more fun. Just like any game is more fun with a friend. But if you use the $30...
Where do you buy a friend?
Tinder. Craigslist. If you... If you buy the $30 edition, you can just play with other people. But if you buy the $40 edition, you can invite any of your friends who have the trial version to your game for free. Well, not for free for them.
You're saying like A Way Out.
Yes. Remember how A Way Out was like, you can play with one person. This game is for $40, you get the buddy pass, and it's anybody who has the trial version and a linked Bethesda account can join your game.
It was like Mario DS.
But you get no achievements. Yeah, like Mario DS, no achievements. I would say it's a $30 game, and I like it for $30 co-op, but if you're not a fan of first-person shooters and killing Nazis, you might not like this. But if you don't like killing Nazis, then, I mean, maybe you're just not insane like me. I've never killed a Nazi. A Plague Tale Innocence. Speaking of Nazis,
there's
no Nazis in this game.
No Nazis.
Tyler, what do you know about A Plague Tale Innocence?
Isn't this the one where you're carrying your little brother around?
And there's rats.
And it's a little scary, but mostly survival.
You know what? That's what I thought going in. It's kind of changed now, but yes. Kevin, what would you say this game is?
I would say it's, like, it should be called The First of Us.
you're not wrong.
It's very similar to The Last of Us.
Takes place in France in 1348.
It's more about avoidance than engagement.
Correct. You play as Amicia.
Amicia?
Who is a lady, a royal lady in France. Maybe not royal, but she's part of the leader family. And some people come in and they're like, hey, we want to get this son, the firstborn son of the family. So you, being...
Hugo.
the older sister and the guardian, you take your little brother and you run away to avoid these bad men. At the same time, there's lots of rats and there's a plague.
Dude, I gotta say, most impressive part of this game, you can pet the dog.
You can, the first thing, the first action you can take as Amicia is petting that goddamn dog.
Sounds like a successful game.
You know what? Honestly, as soon as I started to play it, I was Tyler's like, fuck this. You can pet the dog? Game of the year. It is like Tyler said, it is spooky because you have lots of rats and you have to use
So how many people did you kill to get all these rats?
Well, how many people did you kill?
Isn't that a
like
that's
one
a
or two?
That's a thing in a game.
It's in
Vermintide.
Dishonored.
No, Dishonored.
Dishonored. Actually, you know what? The game kind of does have that Dishonored, not feel, because it's not anything like the game Dishonored, but the visual style. Because it's 1348. Yeah. It's, as Tyler said, it's a narrative, but it's got some scare in it because there's survival. You have to, bunch of rats. They're very scary. You have to use light in interesting ways, like torches and stuff. It's a third-person game.
Ah.
There's stealth. There's a little bit of action because you have a slingshot. You can, like, throw at some guys, but sometimes it's used for puzzle solving. But it's also mostly narrative, and it's about you taking care of your little brother. Your little brother has some unnamed disease. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he just has anxiety.
Hmm.
Because the game kind of reminds me of Hellblade.
Yeah.
Senua's
Sacrifice?
Yes, Senua's Sacrifice. That said, too, I don't know how the whole helping out your brother thing is going to play out, because it really is like an escort mission. Not an escort mission, because you don't have to worry about him dying, but it's kind of that, like, oh, use your brother to go through the hole and unlock the door, and okay, I've seen that before. You know, use the torch to light the thing and make sure he can get through this hole. I think
one of the most interesting things for me so far is that there's a, they kind of made a narrative choice to make the presence of the rats and the plague therein a little bit fantastical.
Yes.
So it kind of makes it cool because you're sort of seeing it from the perspective of a young child.
It is riveting. Not riveting maybe, but compelling narratively.
The tension is what was most notable for me upon first playing.
Tyler is palpable. Every time Tyler comes here to record, he's always hurting himself in new ways. I think he's just cramping up from all the ideas of rats. What the fuck has been with rats this summer?
Dude.
A lot of rats, Stranger Things. What's up, rats?
Yeah.
Plague Tale Innocence.
I gotta say, man, I know this isn't the place to talk about it, but Stranger Things was good.
Stranger Things was good. We talked about Stranger Things 3, the game. Go buy that game. It's a good game.
It was very gory.
With Stranger Things 3, yes.
Once I realized what they were going for with all that, though, it didn't blow my mind. It just made it a lot cooler.
I think Stranger Things 3 is the second weakest season. I think
what?
Second weakest season. I say that because I think Stranger Things season 3 is all right. I think goes 2 is the worst, 3 is the second worst, and then 1 is good. In Stranger Things, in my opinion,
I think that's fair.
Well, first had the shock value, and then you got a...
The first was like 80s Stephen King.
I liked the third one because of all of the 80s horror movie references.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing. I think season one of Stranger Things was very much an original idea about spooky Russian girl, and then 2 and 3 is like, let's go 80s nostalgia.
Yep.
Well, so you lose the narrative quality, but you definitely, like, the visuals of season 3 are fantastic.
Yep. Yep.
I think that was really
the color
cool.
palette was so good.
But yeah, Tyler, you're not wrong. That shit was gory.
It was real gory.
Very, very body horror.
Yeah. Very body horror.
Yeah.
Whereas the first season was not so much like that.
No.
This season was John Carpenter.
I don't think it's that, John, but yes. I remember saying out loud at least 3 times, TV-14? Ha, funny joke, Netflix.
Right.
Like, there's at least 3 to 4 scenes that are definitely TV mature.
Yeah.
And they're just like, we can't, because then people won't be able to watch with their families. No, seriously, that shit is kind of gory. So if you have kids, like...
Did you say 3 or 4 times?
Yeah.
You said that?
At least 3 or 4.
Okay. That's about how many times I went, ugh.
Yeah, same.
Like, honestly. But anyways, A Plague Tale Innocence, we're kind of a little late to the party on this. It came out in May. Me and Kevin are working through it.
I'm very impressed. From at first blush, I'm really excited to play this game.
Almost dropped my phone.
Oopsie doodle.
My wife is also a big history buff, so I'm excited to play it alongside her and have her kind of like... vet it for historical accuracy, and I think
you know what, I would love to do that. I would love to sit with your wife and vet things.
I think as soon as you hit like chapter 2, it's like mostly fantasy, but there is still, well, no, more like 3. I'm gonna let you keep playing it, Kevin. Yeah. We'll talk about it more at the end of the year. I feel like this might be up for best narrative.
There is one thing, and I will admit I've only played one chapter of it.
Yes.
There's one thing that happens
out
in that chapter.
15 chapters, I believe.
That I just was going to walk away from the game because of.
You're just, yes. Yeah, we won't spoil it. But yeah, they really do kind of cheaply in the beginning. They're like, we're going to make you really feel sad. You're like, come on. You don't need to do that. Let's talk about things that don't make you sad. We haven't played this yet, but Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah.
The reason it makes me sad is because I wanted not a Dragon Quest character.
God, same here.
I wanted something different.
Okay, so to be fair, it's not a Fire Emblem character.
Which I'll take. I'll take, as long as it's not Fire Emblem, that could be the worst thing.
Does he have a sword?
He does have
a
sword.
He does have a sword.
It's the hero.
He also has a shield.
Fuck it.
This is the only Link-like character we're going to get.
He has a command bar thing, right?
We have three Links.
Four.
I don't want this to become into an argument about why the hero may or may not be bad, but just an explanation of what the character is now that we've gotten that big direct where they talked about it.
Okay, so he's got a sword. That's great.
Yeah.
He's got a shield. It blocks things, like Link's shield blocks things.
Okay.
You can actively block things with your shield.
Nice.
In this with the tilt move, I think.
Okay.
He has an MP bar.
That's a magic bar for those who don't play JRPGs.
Right. So you, with your special moves, your B moves, you cast a fire spell, a lightning spell, and an air spell.
Kind of sounds like Ness, almost. You get some elemental attacks.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And then how do you change between all the other... Because you can change this character into a bunch of different other characters, right?
Yeah, so those are just all skins. Every character gets four skins, eight skins. This character has... one skin and four characters.
Oh, okay.
Right. So,
but it's not like the skin or the costume or the person you're playing as, because this is like all the protagonists from Dragon Quest.
Correct.
Into one. It doesn't. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
11, 3, 4, and 8.
But
and then each one of those has an off color.
But if you pick like a different hero, it doesn't change their move set or anything.
Also correct.
Okay.
It changes their voice actor. Fun enough.
It's cosmetic.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
Right.
So you can hear different attacks with different people saying them.
Right. The original, the guy that did Link in the first game is actually back for this game. I think he did the 4.
Not Link. They're like, you're doing Mario this time, guy. And Wario and Peach Mario, and Daisy. Right? It's just awfully weird. And then they're like, hey, I can't remember the Mario voice actor, but he does Link and Young Link. Luna.
Anyway, so the
he's a brawler.
You can charge each of your B moves. You got a first, a second, and a third level for each. And then beyond that, there's a goddamn command list.
Oh, like
In the games,
like a JRPG.
Right.
You can hit attack. You can hit defend.
Like a jerp.
You can do the run. Can you do the run and just quit the game?
You can't do the run and quit the game.
That'd be
so you get a drop down menu of four things that you can do. They're all spells. These spells are randomly chosen from a list of like 16.
Fuck me.
Not an exaggeration.
Dude, I'm already fucking trash at Smash. I don't need more complications.
Right.
Just don't play as him. Just get beat up by him.
Like each of these moves takes mana, some of your MP, and if you run out of MP, you can't cast spells. And you got to hit people to get MP back.
It sounds like a
Robin.
He's very complex. No, it's harder Robin.
He sounds like a fun...
Robin's pretty fucking hard.
You get to throw a slime at anybody?
No, he's just on the thing.
They sound fun to play as, but might need some time to see the true strength of.
Yeah. No, he's OP as fuck.
Okay. Some of them are like, you need to unlock the tech behind the character. And some of them are just fucking broken, like Cloud.
Right, like Cloud. You know how you can... Has anyone ever played Dragon Quest?
Yeah, I played a little bit of it.
Any of it?
Yeah.
For like 10 seconds and been in a fight.
Yep.
Okay. You know how you have a chance to critically hit?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Guess what?
Oh, man.
It's bad.
It's just like a 50% chance that you'll just smash someone off the table?
Yeah.
That's...
We're talking, watch him not we're nerf talking it. Like a 50% damage buff.
Oh, that's fucking silly.
And that's just on random
can
crits.
He do like a big Marth overhand that already does like 100 smash damage and then it goes to 2000?
It does 26% on a full charge.
Oh my god.
That does 40 on a crit.
You can look forward to playing against the hero on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Online for the next 3 fucking months.
The whole thing is just fucked.
We will be able to play it once we get our hands. That's what I am excited for us to do 129. The next episode, we will talk more about the hero and how he actually plays. Real quick, I like to bring this up on the show. Kevin had discussed earlier before we started recording, maybe while we're recording, that he doesn't have any time for his backlog games. Kevin is surrounded by time vampires, but they're invisible because it's not really the people knows that are taking his time. It's just his collective life is time vampire.
It's my inability to tell people no.
See, and
if Kevin chose hobbies that took less time, or chose less hobbies, period.
Yeah,
he might be better off.
Well, you know what? It, with the lack of time that Kevin has. Sometimes
gaming.
People need to. This motherfucker just makes beer. I'm just like, yo, what are you doing? He's like, fucking brewing my beer. And I'm like, what?
Have you done that in a while?
Nah.
He has. What are you doing? I'm making a fucking stool. I'm carving shit. I'm a carpenter. Kevin, what?
I'm whittling Tyler's wedding gift.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
I made a mystery island in my backyard.
I'm currently enrolled in a painting competition for this weekend.
I'm going fencing at the medieval fair. That's not a thing he does, but it's like something that I feel like he would just out of nowhere. I'm going to do jousting. Occasionally.
I feel targeted.
So because you love jousting so much, like Tyler loves his car mechanics, since Kevin loves jousting so much, he needs to be reminded several times over to make time for video games. And usually it's my job to call Kevin and give him a little pep talk. And this is my personal pep talk to Kevin to fucking play Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Atlantis DLC at least.
You've only told me six times in the past 48 hours.
Because there are three episodes in the Tale of the the First Blade. You can't skip to Atlantis. You can't just, because instead of going, hey, we're going to make some DLC for Assassin's Creed Odyssey here, Ubisoft said, hey, we're going to make more of the story. So you have there is shit that happens in episode 2 of the Legacy of the First Blade DLC that is deadass just a huge spoiler. I can't talk about it, and I need you to play it. And now that I've gotten through the way they did the DLC is that there's two main DLC stories, for lack of a better term, quote-unquote, the Legacy of the First Blade, and quote-unquote, the Fate of the Atlantis. There's the Fate of Atlantis. There are three episodic DLCs for each. The Legacy of the First Blade just adds stuff onto the pre-existing map. This Atlantis stuff is a new place, and it's fucking great.
$10 says it's underwater.
It's not. The first one is...
I was imagining a world completely underwater.
Are you
kidding me?
I've only played the first episode.
I've only wanted to say this, like, for real.
I believe that you will go to Atlantis for real in episode 2. But the first episode is get this, Elysium, which to those who know about Greek mythology, that is the paradise in hell.
It's the fields.
Where Persephone, yes, she yields over.
It's pronounced Persephone.
Persephone. I like, and Odinus. Assassin's Creed Odyssey Season Pass is great, and you're going to have a great time playing it, Kevin, when you do. That is the end of our main game section. That's the end.
I'll be 60.
And that's the end.
I'll be 60.
Of our main segments. I texted young Dan Owen during this, and I said, what is the name of that spell you use all the time in Bloodstained? And Dan Owen texted me back, I can't remember how it's spelled, but she says, Tisroaeon, so it's probably Tisroaeon or something. That is what it is. Tisroaeon.
Teps. T-E-P-S. Teps.
What does that
do? Tisroaeon. It's lightning.
Okay, so imagine me sitting in the same room as Dan, young Dan Owen, playing Bloodstained, and all I hear is...
Tisroaeon.
Tisroaeon. For fucking hours. Thank God. We were finally able to identify the lightning spell. Props to Dan for knowing what spell he uses and not just spamming spells. We have a little bit more content here for you guys. As always, we got to do New Game Plus. It's the beginning of a new month. Unfortunately, PlayStation did not have their info for their their free games. We'll get that on episode 129. But episode 128, New Game Plus, Tyler?
Tisroaeon.
Not even listening. Tisroaeon. Okay, the lightning spell. We've identified this. Xbox Live Games with Gold for August 2019. Baby! This is the segment in which me and Tyler...
This is the one I use. This is the spell I use.
Sorry, they're still on the Bloodstained.
Okay. This is the one where Tyler talks.
Yes, so New Game Plus is the best segment because it's right now.
It's free. You can get, if you subscribe to Xbox Live Gold.
I don't.
You can, or if a friend you know who shares your account can.
That happens.
Can, you can download these four games. So on the 1st of August, you can download the predecessor to the upcoming Microsoft exclusive Gears of War 5, Gears of War 4.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, wow. Gears of War 4. I remember it's about younger gear people, and there's tornadoes. There's like weather systems. My buddy Dan, he's not young Dano, my buddy Dan though, he said, I'm gonna play through Gears of War 4 again. And I was like, dude, I would love to do that. Let me know when you're playing. We'll co-op it together. 2 days later, I'm like, yo, you want to play some Gears 4? He's like, I already did it. I'm like, you asshole. So just in case Dan listens to this, I'm still mad at you for that, Dan. I'm still mad. I'm not mad. Because now, Xbox Live Gold, Games with Gold, August 2019, I can play Gears of War 4 for free.
Without you, Dan.
Without for Xbox free? Game Pass. For free for however much it costs for a month of Xbox Live Gold. Tyler, will you be playing Gears of War 4?
No.
Have you played Gears of War 4?
No.
I thought you played it when it first came out.
I played Gears of 1.
Gears of 1 is good.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's too hard.
Play it on easy.
It's not too hard.
I did.
You'll learn it eventually. You press the A button and you stick to cover and then you just hold the right trigger.
Well, see, I did that and then I run from cover to cover and then like, wait, do you have to let go of the A button?
You have to, I don't actually remember. I think it's like stick and unstick. So maybe you press A to unstick yourself from the wall. Last time I played Gears was also the Gears Ultimate Edition, which I believe they took the wall stuff from
and then
Gears
3. You
double 3.
Tap A and you just do like a big beefcake roll.
Yes, they call it roadie running.
Uh-huh.
Also,
no,
shouts
that's
out
different.
Shouts out to Zombieland Double Tap. That trailer came out.
I didn't see it yet.
It looks all right. The next game I think you will be more interested in, Tyler. Let me make sure it is the right order. Because also on the 1st of the month, 1st of August, you can get the classic Xbox 360 isometric beat-em-up.
Torchlight!
Torchlight's fantastic.
So Torchlight is an isometric that'll put Kevin to sleep. You can play as three distinct classes, and you always get a familiar.
I remember that one not, like, that one lulled me to sleep.
I remember it being fantastic.
Diablo tranquilizes me.
I think Torchlight if I remember right, is more about, like, oh, let's do this shorter mission into, like, the dungeon, and then, whereas Diablo is, like, long, and each mission is like multi-floor dungeons.
Don't you have to get through, like, you have to find a save point in Torchlight, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And, like, you teleport back to that point.
What I remember,
a little bit more OG.
What I remember about Torchlight is a wave-based thing.
Might have been something in, because there's, like, multiple different kinds of
fights.
That's
Castle Defenders.
Is it?
Torchlight.
You're on like, a round platform to start, and you can be, like, a mage or an archer or warrior. And things come in from like dungeon doors from outside. Is that what that is?
And you beat people up, but you also build towers?
No towers.
No towers?
No.
You sure?
Game you're describing sounds like Torchlight, but also might not be Torchlight
Maybe
because there's a town.
Maybe I just didn't play enough of it.
It sounds like Vermintide almost.
There's a town where you talk
at the same time.
In Torchlight.
The one I was talking about is ISO, though.
There's a town, you talk to people, you pick up quests, you go down into the sewers and stuff like that. That is Torchlight, but it's definitely an isometric RPG.
Okay.
So maybe you're just forgetting that small aspect.
Also,
you didn't play enough to unlock
it. For whatever reason, Torchlight occupies the same space in my brain that Tryon does.
I can see that.
Remember Tryon?
That's weird.
That was a good game.
It's in the same place as Bastion for me.
Huh. It's similar. Yeah. 360 kind of. Well,
it's just what I found at the same time.
Yeah.
Would you boys have a fun fact here? You want to know why Torchlight is free with gold?
Is it 10 years old now?
It actually might be. Now that I think about it, it might be. But like Gears 4, the sequel, Torchlight 2, is finally fucking coming to Xbox this month.
At this
August.
Point, they might as well call it Flashlight.
Yeah, for real, dude. Like, Torchlight is it's an older game.
Nailed it.
Torchlight 2 is an older game.
October 27, 2009.
Yes, it is 10 years old. Torchlight 2, I believe, the sequel to Torchlight 2, came out, I believe, in 2016 on
2012,
PC.
Not even close.
Wow, really?
2012.
For the second game?
Yeah, Torchlight 2.
Wow, well, 7 years after its release, you can get it on Xbox One. And if you're just now understanding or just now learning about the Torchlight series, there you go. They're both on Xbox One, free with games with gold.
Okay, you want to play Torchlight later?
Is it co-op?
Yeah.
I'll play Torchlight
later.
Is,
I'll give it a shot.
Awesome.
I don't own it. We're going to have to wait until it's on. Can Kevin stay awake in the isometric?
No.
Let's do it.
After You play your Torchlight and your Gears. There are two other games you can download halfway through the month. Kevin?
I also still have Full Metal Furies. So that
Full Metal Furies is fantastic. Me and Tyler are like, what? On the second world? Or you played further into
it? You're on the second world. I'm almost through the third.
You can play. You just play play level
my
up.
My sniper's level 39. I've been having too much... My fighter's level 40.
Nice.
I've been having too much fun with the Rocket League summer
glad.
Event.
You enjoy whatever you enjoy. Dude. I'm going to keep grinding away.
I have gotten everything in the Rocket League summer event, so you should play that. But the other two games you can get starting on August 16th are...
Oh.
Four what?
Forza Motorsport 6.
That's not the Horizon. That's the Motorsport one.
Right. I wanted to talk about Full Metal Furies more.
Well, we can hold on.
I haven't played it yet, so let's save it.
Okay.
We'll talk. Well, Full Metal Furies is a game that came out like 2 years ago. It's in our Game Last of the Year stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We'll talk about Full Metal Furies. Kevin, that is your requirement now.
All right.
In addition to Plague Tale Innocence.
Just give me homework. I'll do it.
We'll have to get them. I mean,
the
honestly.
Night before.
Honestly, that's
I played Plague Tale this afternoon.
Honestly, that's how it is. And after you're done racing around your cars in Forza Motorsport 6, on August 16th, you can download Castlevania Lords of Shadow 1.
Oh, man, the absolute worst Castlevania
game ever. No,
is that the 3D one?
No. Yes.
Wait. So there are three 3D ones, and then, like, Lords of Shadow is, like, a series.
Are we counting Castlevania 64?
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Castlevania Lords of Hector?
Oh, I don't know. You can play as Lord? Also as another chick, too. Castlevania Lords of Shadow is if you took Castlevania lore and then you made it into a God of War game.
Way better.
It's God of War, but Castlevania.
Yeah, but it's bad.
No, it's not. Well,
yes, it is.
Okay. Depending on your term, bad. I remember it being like 7 out of 10.
So story-wise, at the end of it...
Well, hold on. Don't spoil it.
I'm not going to spoil the story.
Right. Okay, good.
But when people...
Sorry, I knocked it down.
After people reviewed... after people reviewed it and hated it so much, they removed it from canon.
Well, hey, sometimes you can't. I just remember, dude. I like God of War gameplay, so it was fun to hack and slash. But I can tell you for certain, Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 fucking sucks. That game holds your hand for like 6 hours, and then it's like, all right, we're done. And
that I'm was
like,
the tutorial.
And I'm like, what? I like Lords of Shadow 1, but I admittedly have not played it in probably like 8 years.
It does not hold up.
So I will go back and play it. We'll talk about it in episode 129, if that is Jesus Christ,
it
Tyler.
Shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah, what? Some undead thing. Moving on.
I gotta say real quick, while we're on the topic of lore, this is an early recommendation.
Okay.
Because I do have other recommendations. If you guys have not taken the time to go watch Brian David Gilbert on Polygon, he's their new video correspondent. Relatively new. He's been around for a while.
Yes.
His videos are absolutely hilarious. The series is called Unraveled.
While you're looking at Polygon.com.
His most recent one, I'll throw out there real quick, just as a plug.
Yeah.
Is he and another guy cook through all of the recipes in Breath of the Wild in 8 hours.
Oh, interesting.
It's fantastic.
While you're searching Polygon.com, also don't forget to go to our game site.
Correct.
Supergamesite64.com. We don't have any cool video content like that, though, so you'll have to go to Polygon for cooking through Breath of the Wild.
We actually have been contacted by the FCC, and we were told we're not allowed to make video content because we're so fucking gorgeous that people wouldn't be able to drive.
Is that
like,
what face for radio means?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's why we... That's why I always say you got a face for radio, Tyler, is because you're too hot on cam.
That's right.
On cam.
It would be not safe for work just on your face.
Not safe for life.
In a good way, you know?
Let's move on to the end of our show where we talk about, do we have a super game riddle this week?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we got a super game riddle and we have recommendations. We're going to start with the social links, just so you guys know where to get a hold of us. And then we're going to get into the end of the show here. If you want to reach out to us, there's so many places you can join in the discussion. But once again, go to supergamesite64.com. That's site S-I-T-E. Supergamesite64.com to read a bunch of articles, news, reviews, listicles, our top 10 games of 2018, our top 10 movies of 2018. You can join the community and get commenting on there. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, so you can get weekly emails about what new articles we posted. Also, on Facebook, I know I mentioned this before, but you can go on Facebook and find fan pages and fan groups for both Super Gamecast 64 and Super Game Site 64. Just simply search them in your search bar and join. The group has been popping off, boys. I remember you, Kevin, saying, I think at the beginning of the season, kind of like, you know, talking shit, you're like, we got 100 people, right? I haven't invited people, and that number keeps rising. So thanks to you guys for continuing to help our community grow.
Thank you, listeners.
If you want to grow on Twitter.
I'll tell you what.
Huh.
It has nothing on my favorite Facebook group, though.
Area 51?
No.
Okay, good.
Kevin's Who Loves Stardew Valley.
Ah, Kevin's Who Loves Stardew Valley.
It is a bespoke Facebook group only for the discerning Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
There are two of us.
I did try to invite Chef Kevin of Earwolf fame onto your Kevin's Who Likes Stardew Valley. He did not accept because I don't think he's played it. He has a PS4.
Wait, you gave him admin permissions? He's not even part of the group.
No,
you gave him admin permissions?
I was just spreading the word of Kevin's Who Like Kevin.
He was evangelizing for me.
Because I was on the almost...
Evangelizing?
I was on Almost Better Than Silence's 301st episode where I interviewed Chef Kevin of Earwolf fame. It was great talking with Doug and Whitney and Kevin and all of them. It was fantastic. Go check that out. After you're done listening to this, just search Almost Better Than Silence on whatever podcasting application you're using and listen to episode 301. It was great. Twitters, though. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, you should at us. It's at SuperGameSite64 or SuperGameCast64. There's two Twitters there. If you want to check us out on Instagram, it's also at SuperGameSite64. But we, the loving hosts, have our own personal Twitters. Tyler's like fucking going through a loop here. He's like,
trying not to sneeze. Shut up about it.
I want a lot of quiet while we wait for Tyler to sneeze.
I'm not going
to
sneeze. It's gone.
Okay.
It has passed. Look, I'm looking at the light.
If you want to talk to me on Twitter personally, I'm at SGC64 Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, BEERD underscore man.
Nice. And
I'm at TTramalio.
Wow. We're shaking it up here. If you want to email us at hello at supergamesite64.com, of course, and we'll get to you. We'll respond to your shit as soon as we can. Let's move on to the end of the show.
Yeah, send us your shit.
We're going to start with recommendations. If it's been a few weeks, recommendations, we always give you guys a little recommendation on what to play, what to watch, and what to read. So if you're a player, you got some games to play. You're a watcher, you got some movies and TV to watch. And if you're a reader, you got some books or manga or comics to read. I will start. I have, let me see.
He will start, but he's not prepared.
Yeah, no.
You want me to start?
Yeah. What's your
read? All right, so this is a preemptive read?
Yeah. Well, do you have a read?
I have a couple things I'm reading right now. So there's a really, really great book called Armored Saint by Mike Cole.
Ooh.
He is a scholar. He's a military scholar. He studies Roman and like ancient warfare, who decided to break form and write a fantasy book in which a young girl who is the daughter of an artificer kind of grabs hold of her own destiny and does some interesting things that I won't go into because it would just be spoilers. But anyway, the second book of that series has recently come out, and I just found out that the third one is going to be released later this year, the third and final installment in this saga. The great thing about these books is that they're rather short, but they're really, really well written. I gave one to my sister-in-law over vacation. She managed to finish it within the week. So they're just really, really evocative and really well-written books.
I have a read.
So that's my read.
Well, Tyler actually read this part of it right as we sat down to record. It's called Gyo by Junji Ito. It's a manga. It's a scary manga. It's about...
Is that one of them Japanese comics?
Yes. Okay. You read it from right to left, not left to right.
It's like Fishnado.
It's a story about a couple, and all of a sudden, spider fish start running out of the ocean. It's fucking horrifying. And then there's two bonus stories at the end.
There's only one.
No, there's two. You read one of them.
I read the second of two?
You read the second of two.
Ah.
It's great. It's a manga. You can read it together as in a novel form, or you can read it serialized on the internet, I'm sure. Mm. But Gyo.
Does it come in a box?
Yes. And if you like the horror. Cereal.
Like mac and cheese.
Specifically, if you like the aquatic horror, but you don't like manga, check out The Deep by Nick Cutter. It's a pseudonym for Craig Davidson. But The Deep by Nick Cutter. It's a horror.
Who those people are.
It's a horror novel. Well, read more books, dummy.
Can't read.
Smoked.
Got him.
Do you have a read, Tyler?
I've been reading Storm of Swords. I'm almost done. Very nice. Not realize that it was 47 hours.
Storm of Swords. That's Stephen King's The Stand length.
40, oh, really?
46, yeah. I think. Wow. So that's even longer than Stephen King.
So what's fun about...
47
reading,
hours.
What's fun about reading the Song of Ice and Fire or the Game of Thrones books after you've watched the show is you're like... Oh, this happened. but there's 15 hours left in the book. Now yeah. what? So book three is seasons three and four, and I didn't know that.
Yeah. What's the, you said Storm of Songs?
It's a lot.
Sword of Swords.
Oh,
Storm of Swords.
Storm of Swords, Storm is, Swords is book three.
Storm of Swords was one of the harder ones to get through, personally.
Game of Thrones book three.
It's long.
It's a bit of a slog. It's not bad. It's just long.
There's a lot.
It's just long.
So read Game of Thrones. Read Junji Ito.
You kind of get tired after the 15th feast where he spends four pages describing the food.
He really doesn't do that. That's not really a thing. He has maybe spent 10 pages total.
I've heard he writes about costumes a lot. Or not costumes,
well,
but
yeah,
like
he's
clothing.
Got to describe everything. So the things that you're seeing on the screen don't take as much time to describe. And he really puts you in it.
He really does. Say what you will about him, but he's a fantastic writer.
Everybody shits on him, and well, that too.
George R. R. Martin, you know, Game of Thrones.
Doctor
Pat
R. R.
Rothfuss.
let's do a play. What do you want people to play, Tyler?
Full Metal Furies.
Full Metal Furies. You can get that on PC and on Xbox Game Pass.
Yes, it is. As far as I know, it is the four ladies.
Yes,
the
sniper and the shield girl and a beat 'em up and a shotgun,
with a hammer. Yeah,
miner maybe a engineer.
Engineer. So the fun thing I was just going to mention earlier about this game is that you play as the Triss, Alex, Aaron, and Meg. Mm-hmm. And these are all kind of like shortened pet names for the three Aranyas.
The three what?
The Aranyas.
Aranyas.
The Furies.
Oh, okay.
The of Greek mythology.
Oh.
So Alex, Triss, and Meg.
Yeah.
And then Aaron.
That's fun.
So there were three Aranyas and
yeah. You can shoot people in the face. You can also, if you play as the shield girl, I play as the shield girl. She's my favorite. You can punch them in the face with your shield. It's really good. There's a lot of options for depending on
it
how
it feels like Castle Crashers.
Like
it's,
Castle Crashers.
It's real good.
But it's long. There's lots of content.
I think there's a lot of unlockable characters, and I really just want to get to the end of the game, but it's really fucking hard by yourself.
My play, yes, I would say that is I had more fun playing with you, Tyler, than I did solo. My play, as I look at Kevin, is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Specifically the season pass, but if you haven't played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, now is the time. I'm going to say
this. Assassin's Creed, Matt?
You know what?
Time's now.
I'm going to say that Assassin's Creed Odyssey is probably one of the top 10 games of this generation.
I just want to call back to last year's Game of the Year.
Yes.
One of us, really good looking, smart, funny.
Hey, you also took it off the list. I believe you're the one who said Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I remember listening back to it, and I said,
that's what I'm saying.
And I said, oh, I was wondering if it was going to be me or you who did this, and it was you. So yes, play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Look, if I had, we're not going to go back to Game of the Year 2018 and make statements about what should have won, what shouldn't have won. I think that Assassin's Creed Odyssey is a fantastic game. And I think all games that we feature on our Game of the Year 2018 and all other years are fantastic games. Yes, play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. But what do you think the people should play, Kevin?
My play is Terraria. Play Terraria with me, please.
On the Switch?
I have a second play.
Okay.
Because soon.
Soon?
The world will be Iceborne.
Yeah.
Get back into Monster Hunter World.
Yeah.
It's like riding a bike.
It really, really was. Like, we were playing earlier this week, and I picked up the Charge Blade again, and man, it was just like, dude, right back into it. Honestly, I really did.
I use the easiest sword, right? The long sword, so it should be real easy for me.
I wouldn't say it's that easy. There's no defensive options.
The combat, though, or at least the long string.
It's very straightforward, yeah.
Yes, easy. Let's
this
move on.
One or that one.
Let's move on to our watch. Something to watch. Movie, TV, maybe a nice video.
You know,
even.
I'm a big advocate for Ripper Street.
Okay.
Some of the actors that are in Ripper Street are in some of your favorite shows, like Game of Thrones or The Witcher.
Ripper Street is available on?
It's on Netflix.
It's
a BBC show.
BBC? Is it? So it's a TV series? How many seasons they got?
Five.
Fuck. How many episodes per season?
Sometimes 10, sometimes 14.
So I'm assuming
half hour,
like
an hour.
Hour.
Yeah, that's what I was. Ooh, look at that.
Sure, healthy. It's Sherlock.
You got some time. Yeah, Sherlock's
those
fantastic.
Fucking Brits, man. They got a lot of time on their hands.
My watch.
It's good stuff, too. It's BBC TV 14, which is NC-17 here.
Yeah, you're not wrong. My watch is also a Netflix series, but this is not long-running like Tyler's. This is Love, Death, Robots, which got renewed for a second season.
So I wasn't sure how I'd feel about that.
I've been meaning to watch it.
Oh, it's great. I think we're going to have an article up on the site that ranks all of them very soon. It's very subjective.
Is it an anthology?
Yes.
Yep.
Love, Death, Robots, it's 18 episodes. Most of them max out at 20 minutes, but most of them are like 8 to 10 minutes.
And they're shorts, right?
I mean, that's what I mean. They're 8 to 10 minutes at max 20 minutes, but most of them are 10 to 15 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes. They all include love, death, or robots. Most of the time, it's death and robots. I'm just going to go out there and let me say, most of the time, death and robots.
Love.
And the love is not love as much as just titties, you know, and a few times wieners. Like, that's their love.
Okay.
But most of it is sci-fi thriller, horror, action. So Tyler really loves the wiener and the boobies.
The way you said it was silly.
The bubs and the bean.
Love, death, and robots. Season one on Netflix.
Instead of the birds.
We had an episode.
Bubbies and the penis.
No. I just want you guys to know that we had an episode in season three. Season three. Yeah, no. We have an episode in season three that we recorded at Tyler's called fucking Bubbies and Peeners. It's not a joke. Like, that is...
Wait, so we predicted love, death, and robots.
Bubbies and Peeners.
Love, Bubbies and Peeners.
Jesus Christ.
Is this Bubbies and Peeners 2? Electric Boogaloo?
What is your watch
all
before
right.
everybody turns off their
podcast? I got two.
We're really
one
sorry.
One is preemptive. This is going to be more like a book club, but for videos.
Okay.
The Boys?
The Boys on Amazon, Prime. I hear so many good things about
it. I keep hearing really good things about it, and I just found out about it yesterday, so I intend to watch it ASAP.
You wanted people to discuss it with you, so watch it while Kevin watches it.
I'm going to start watching it soon, so I'll throw something up in the group when I do. But the one I have been watching that I do recommend, a little bit weird, if you're into anime, it's definitely an anime. It falls into a lot of tropes, but so far, I quite enjoy it. Just because of the concept of it, but it's called The Rising of the Shield Hero.
Okay.
Ah, yes.
It's cool. He's an otaku, right? He gets pulled into this fantasy world, by being summoned by these people who are desperate for these legendary heroes to come inherit the weapons of power.
I've watched this anime, but it's not that anime.
Right. It's every fucking anime ever. It's got like little, like,
Waifus
that make you feel uncomfortable, like that whole thing. What I like about it is that to them, it's like a video game. But to the rest of the world, it's like these legendary weapons are these things of power that require you to be attuned to them. But like literally, they're killing mobs and like feeding them to the weapons.
I think the one that I was referencing that I had seen was actually he goes into a video game.
Like
it's not Sword Art Online, but he goes into like a fantasy kind of Elder Scrolls-esque world. I was watching Young Dano and was watching a anime called Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Yep. I've heard that one.
Did you
guys
see the movie?
I don't know.
There was a movie that was just released. It was at it for a little while.
There's a new My Hero Academia season coming out soon, too.
Season 4!
I'm very particular when it comes to my animes. I'm not a big anime fan.
I need to watch them.
But I do enjoy Rising of the Shield Hero. It's pretty good.
So our recommendations this episode. A lot of Japanese art. A lot of fun stuff to watch, some anthologies.
Yeah.
Guys, we're here to wrap it up. We have one last final thing. They said on episode 126, they said, this super game riddle business, too easy. Too easy.
This one's hard.
This one's harder. We're going to post it on the group, so you guys can also
this
get in there.
For sure the hardest.
Once again, shout out to Mike, Colin, Kevin, somebody else, Dave, you guys who answered on the Super Game Riddle on episode 126, got it correct. Good job.
I don't know if you guys even got this right, like on your first couple guesses.
We'll find out. I don't
listening to this
one. We'll find out.
Ooh.
What is our Super Game Riddle? Remember, this will be posted on the Super Gamecast 64 Facebook group. Hold on. So go and join the Super Gamecast 64 Facebook group. Find the post with the Super Game Riddle and answer it.
Here's your pro tip.
Yeah, pro tip.
So pay attention to the words used in this one.
Yeah.
Not that you don't already, but like That's the key.
Listen.
Right? Just listen to me for a moment.
Our super game riddle for episode 128 is... Take it away, Kevin.
I won't write you a misleading rhyme or shock you with meter and time. Cataloging them all by sight or by ball, he's often the target of crime.
That's nice. I know what it is. And you too can guess by visiting Super Gamecast 64's Facebook group. Read it one more time for those at home who weren't listening the first time.
I won't write you a misleading rhyme or shock you with meter and time. Cataloging them all by sight or by ball, he's often the target of crime.
If you know the answer to that super game riddle, go ahead, post it on our Facebook or tweet at us at SuperGameCast64 with your answer.
That's the end of my backlog. I got to start writing more of these.
Yeah, remember when Kevin...
two.
That was, remember when Kevin...
No, I had four.
Well, you've done two.
All right, well, I don't have to keep writing them. Yay!
He forgot how many ones he's read off. Guys, that was a great episode. If you're listening this far, what level are they? Level 7? What level are they now? You guys have...
Yes, it must be 7, because it's the episode minus 121.
Yes. Guys, if you've been listening this long, you're now episode 7. You're now level 7. If you've been listening since season 4, you got that Prestige Star 7, making all of us kids in that Modern Warfare lobby really, really jelly. We've already talked about where you can find us. You've talked about where you can play with us.
We need to give away this thing.
We need to give away
the Humble Bundle.
We'll do that.
We got a couple things here.
We'll do that. Guess what, guys? Tyler has 30 games, right? 31 games?
I think it's 30 games.
30 games
as
from
September,
from April, June, from the classic game developer, Humongous Games, right? We got a website, supergamesite64.com. I'm going to look at Tyler. How about you, Tyler? You think that the first 30 people who sign up for our newsletter can go ahead and cop a copy of a game?
I don't know that. I don't know that for sure. I don't know how it's broken up.
I know they're all 30 different codes because I had to redeem every single one of them.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, then yes.
Go to supergamesite64.com, sign up for our newsletter. I can see your emails and sign it up, and we will send that code to your email once I confirm it. Thanks so much for listening. Once again, we'll put that on the website. It's been great. I've been Matt.
I'm always Tyler.
I am Kevin.
And I'm Dan Owen, and I've been in the room the whole time.
Whoa! It's a super surprise! Imagine a world where, dude?
Completely underwater.
We'll catch you guys next time.
There's always a lighthouse.
There's always a man. The Lighthouse by A24.
What's the other one?
City.
There's always a city. There's always a man. Play Bioshock Infinite, and then play Burial at Sea. Read Junji Ito. Dan's like, oh, I like this shit. Bye!
Bye.